You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back, joined by Benjamin Weingarten. He is one of the rising stars, as far as I'm concerned, in the intellectual firmament of young conservatives, and a man who I've come to know and admire greatly for his work at ChangeUp Media, LLC. He is its founder and CEO. He's also been a Publius Fellow at the highly regarded Claremont Institute. You can find his writings in all the right places. They are helpfully consolidated at benweingarten.com. Check it out. Meanwhile, we're delighted to check him out. Ben, thank you so much for joining us. Good to have you back.
Frank, thanks for that introduction, and it's always a pleasure.
Good. Well, let's talk about some of the things that you've been mulling, as have we. Specifically, I'd like to pick up on some of your analysis and current thinking of where we are with respect to Iran. The president, of course, last week said he's not going to continue certifying that the deal is either being complied with by the Iranians, that is the Obama bomb deal, or in our national security interests. And yet, as John Bolton Rood in the Wall Street Journal yesterday, he remains in the deal, hoping to somehow fix it. Tell us your thoughts about, is it fixable? And if not, what should we be doing?
Ultimately, I don't believe that the Iran deal is fixable because I don't believe that Iran is a viable, serious, credible, committed partner. I think that any deal that's consummated with this Iranian regime ultimately isn't worth the paper that it was printed on. And so when it comes to legislation that was put forth regarding the deal, which, as we all know, was not put up to the Senate as a treaty, it's kind of interesting. In some ways, what we're dealing with in terms of the decertification process and going to Congress for sanctions, while many conservatives are lauding the fact that we are incorporating Congress in the process when it comes to foreign policy and national security, the process itself regarding Iran deal, in my view, was illegitimate in the first place. So I think in some ways we're boxing ourselves into the confines of a deal consummated with a partner that is incredible in a framework that is not commensurate with what we're dealing with, which should have been a treaty. And it should have been a treaty that would have been struck down. And of course, that's why the Obama administration did an end run around Congress and subverted it.
What is going to happen now? Do you anticipate Congress in this flawed deliberative structure, if you will, is going to do anything? Snap back sanctions, for example?
Well, it seems that we've committed to the process of involving Congress. And of course, there's legislation that's, I think, been hammered out over, you know, the last several weeks and is going to go through a whole lobbying process regarding essentially, as you noted, snapping back sanctions. This is, of course, the Cotton Corker legislation that's been discussed. And look, I understand the impetus behind the notion of fix it or nix it, which is sort of what Benjamin Netanyahu has spoken to and various other allies of the U.S., and it seems like that's the framework that we're in as opposed to just scrapping the deal. I think ultimately, though, this will probably prove a futile exercise, even if obviously it's great that we designated the IRGC, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, as we did. And even if we do impose much harsher sanctions and essentially reimpose at least some portion of the regime, the sanctions regime that we had before, that's all well and good. But there's this kind of false notion that, you know, it's either we have the deal or we have war that the Iran deal echo chamber has been discussing. And the crucial point to understand is that Iran has continued to be at war with us since 1979. It isn't as if all of a sudden we had this pause and it was kumbaya in the world. Iran is now simply a richer, more legitimized regime in which it's going to be much harder to snap back sanctions because you have all of these parties involved that are profiting from Iran deal. And that isn't to say that ultimately, if the U.S. said you either trade with us or you're locked out of basically, you know, all of your commercial relations, that the full faith and credit of the U.S. would not dominate in that scenario. But if the other parties don't deem us serious about the way in which we're going to engage on this, we do have a challenge ahead of us. And, you know, that's why I wrote about recently in the Federalist this article about essentially the fact that the EU, various ministers there, have been frantically trying to protect the deal, and they themselves have admitted that it's about economics, i.e. there are billions of dollars worth of trade hinging on sanctions not being reimposed. And so all of these parties involved are fighting tooth and nail to trade with and thus ultimately subsidize and strengthen this Shia 12er regime that is antithetical to all of the interests of Western civilization.
I think your headline on the piece was Iran deal supporters are willing to sell out the U.S. to jihadists. That's, in fact, only part of the point you're making. They're really willing to sell themselves out. It's just suicide, as I see it. Hey, Ben, let me switch gears quickly. Speaking of suicide, there is now coming out of North Korea a rhetorical flourish that exceeds even some of the past vitriol and threats that that regime under successive Kims has expressed, to the point where the North Koreans are now saying nuclear war can happen at any time. I'm wondering whether you're struck, as am I, by what seems to be a rather remarkable discounting of all of this by some of our leaders, at least, and certainly most of the public. Is that advisable, or should we be taking this threat much more seriously than we are? And if so, what should we be doing?
Well, first of all, I think it's fascinating when you juxtapose the hysteria in the media. First of all, after about 70 years of Russophilia, that all of the sudden, $150,000 worth of Facebook ads allowed Russia, following the Cold War, to somehow subvert our democracy and steal the White House. So you have hysteria around what is a just on its face completely laughable narrative. And then on the other hand, comparatively with North Korea, no one takes North Korea seriously. But North Korea is a nuclear-armed rogue regime. And I think that their words and actions, their, you know, their bellicose nature, and the way in which they completely shrug off, at least rhetorically, the U.S. and the West, indicates that they feel they don't bear any costs for their words and actions. And that speaks to their belief that we don't pose, we being the West, a credible threat to them, or we do pose a credible threat, but we don't have the will to follow through on it. And so I think the challenge for policymakers is to figure out what are the proper actions to take commensurate with the nature of the threat. And one of the things that I know you've supported for decades, and I think all Americans should get behind, and frankly, it's stunning sometimes that we don't talk about it or think about it, is A, taking all the measures that we need to take to harden our own grid against the potential for an electromagnetic pulse attack, but B, deploying rapidly a much more advanced missile defense system that deals with the launch of weapons at all phases, including in the boost phase, because the notion of trying to hit a nuclear-armed intercontinental ballistic missile as it's coming down towards the surface, we're not 100% in terms of our hit rate. And so you need to have a multi-layered missile defense system that is really credible if we want to be secured against threats like North Korea, like Iran, and like others in the world.
Amen. Ben Weingarten, we have to leave it at that. Thank you so much for your time today, as well as the great work you do. Check it out, folks, at benweingarten.com. Come back to us again very soon, if you would, Ben. Next up, we'll talk with Joseph Heumeier about what Iran is doing in our, well, front yard here in the Western Hemisphere. That and more straight ahead.